Hello? Something's working, I think, maybe. It's the technology. I need to project. No, we aren't going to go there. Well, good morning and welcome to Lexington Christian Church. And welcome to everyone who's out there on Zoom. It's wonderful to see everybody here that so far I don't think we've heard that anybody has had any major storm damage to members of the church itself, aside from some water problems. But I understand there's a 40-foot section of 16-inch water line that's out on Old Huntington Road, and that's causing problems for the whole county, but I'm sure they'll get it fixed eventually. So it's good to be in God's house this morning, and it's good that we're all here and we're all safe and sound. But we do have neighbors in our county that have had damage from the tornadoes, and need to keep them in our prayers this morning. Announcement-wise, upcoming events, Monday morning, ladies' Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, see a ladies' fellowship dinner on the April 22nd in the Activity Center. That's a first for, what, over a year? So that's a good thing. Men's fellowship, which says men's fellowship, we're going to go to the Grecian on the 13th, and we haven't done that for a long time either. And then, yeah, over a year. And then church Easter egg hunt, Easter Sunday, April 4th, after services, and candy donations are needed. I think they've got plenty of eggs, but they need candy. So if you can get some candy, they'd really appreciate that. I don't think, well, let's see, Kids Zone says today, I think, nursery, infants through 5, and Kids Zone Elementary, age 5 through 5th grade. I think that's today. So that's
the elementary starts next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Okay.
Nursery is only open for today.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, that's an improvement over the past year when we haven't had anything like that. Anything else in the way of announcements that I've missed? Okay. Then in prayers, of course, prayers for the people in Henderson County that have had trouble with the tornado. There's several places like that. Thought and prayers. Christy Baldwin's still not feeling well. Kathy's mom is not feeling well. She's in the hospital. Needs prayer for her. Austin Eldridge, anything new with Austin? Well, they're out in the front foyer. I think he went to church last Sunday. That's a great improvement. Let's see, and I can't think of Tammy's friend that from the river who had the massive heart attack and then said he wasn't doing well, and then I think he's gone home now. Definitely answered prayer there. Anything else that we need in the prayer list? Okay. Well, then let's take a few moments of silent prayer, and we can lift up whoever you would like off the prayer list or someone else that's on your heart. And then I'll close that prayer time, and we'll move on with morning services. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be in your house again today, and thank you for sparing us from the damages of the storms. Our church building is still here, and we can come to worship. We pray for the fellows, citizens of Henderson County that have had storm damage, and all the people throughout the nation that have had damage in the last few days, and the families that have lost loved ones due to these storms. We again thank you for allowing us to be here in your house so we can praise you and worship you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Good morning, everybody, here at Lexington Christian Church, and all of you who are out there and at Zoom. And I just want to encourage everybody to be thankful this morning after the storms, that the Lord saw us through the storms. So let's stand and sing praises this morning. And while you're standing, put your hand up like it's right here and look at your palm, because this is Palm Sunday. And then put the other one up and let's praise the Lord this morning. All right? All right.
Well, praise the Lord and good morning, everyone. Welcome to everybody here at Lexington Christian Church and everybody watching us on social media for this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. And hope the service so far has been a blessing to you. I know it has to me. And this group of pickers and grinners do a wonderful job this morning. Takes quite a bit to get my wife's attention sometimes, but Jimmy, you have amazed my wife this morning. Anybody can sit on a wooden box up here and keep beating everything like on a, of course, you do know we do have two set of drums over here.
So, next week.
Next week. All right. Let the boy play with all the toys. But anyway, we welcome each and every one of you to God's house this morning as we come around the Lord's table for this time of service that we always respect and take part in the Lord's Supper, to receive the emblems that represent the body and the blood that Jesus suffered for us so many years ago on the cross. And we certainly hope and pray this morning as we receive these emblems that everybody that's under the sound of my voice was taken care of throughout the day, yesterday and last night, as all these storms moved through the area. There was quite a bit of flooding and damage and wind damage, and I hope everybody's family and friends were blessed. And let us remember to pray for those that did have damage or injury or whatever. But let us especially remember to always know, not just remember occasionally, but to always know that Jesus Christ, Lord God, is in charge. He's still on the throne. So let's keep our faith and our eyes on Him. You know, a couple of weeks ago, when we were having some pretty rough storms around in this area, I was going through a time that, you know, I was looking around. Everybody these days has moments when we look around and things are not going just exactly right. Maybe not be going the way that we want it to go, that we would like for it to go, that may not even be going the way that we know Jesus don't want it to go, Keith, like our government situation. All of this stuff going on in our government, in our, not just the federal government, but our local government, city governments, county governments, everything seems to be going sour. Well, about 3 weeks ago, Brother Ina and I was actually coming up out of Atlanta, Georgia. Made it up to Chattanooga. And weather was getting kind of rough. I got on through Chattanooga, all right. Well, you know, of course, Keith and Brother Ina and everybody knows the route that I'm taking. You've got to come right over the top of Mount Eagle Mountain. Well, you know, we enjoyed listening on the back porch last night. My wife will tell you I'm not the brightest bulb in the shed when it comes to storms. I want to be right out in it. I was out on the back porch last night watching the lightning, listening to thunder, and several of you know, I know Keith knows it, what it sounds like when thunder is off over there. Just awe-inspiring. Of course, typically when it goes to get a little bit closer, we get a little bit closer to the door. But 3 weeks ago, I was coming right over the top of Mount Eagle Mountain. Had got to the crest of it right there at exit 135, Keith. When I look right off over here on the right side of my truck, and there's a big streak of lightning hit right there. and thunder rattled the top of Mount Eagle Mountain. A difference when you're looking off over there at the clouds and you can see and hear. But when you're up on top of a mountain in that cloud, got my attention. I said, yes, Lord, whatever you want. But go with us this morning as we gather around this table and give praise, honor, and glory. And remember all of God's blessings as we receive these emblems this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so very much for all your many blessings, your grace, your mercy, and your love, Lord. We praise you for this time that we have together in your presence and in your house to give you honor and glory, to bring our praise and honor to you and to receive of your blessings. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We ask you now to be with us, Lord, as we come before you to receive these emblems. Let the following week be a time that we look back and ponder on the things that you had to go through during the week between your entry into Jerusalem and your departure from the cross. For God, we know that you didn't stay in the ground long. We know, Father, that you rose from the dead, that you went back to heaven, that you're preparing a place for us. Help us to hide these truths in our heart. Be with our pastor this morning as he brings forth the message, Lord. Be on his mind and in his heart with your spirit, your power. Bless each and every one here. In Jesus' name, amen.
If it's been a while since you've been with us and how we do communion, what we're going to ask you to do is use the side aisles here. Feel free to come forward. Then at first we ask if you have a tithe or an offering this morning, just put it right in the plate, and then you can come and the gentleman will just give you a cup. All you have to do is just pick the cup up off the table. We do ask that you go ahead and use the center aisle to return, however it's convenient for you in that regard, and then we will partake together as a church body. So at this time, I invite you to come forward. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You'll probably hear me say it many times. I really enjoy this part of the service, where we come together as believers, brothers and sisters, and we do what Jesus asked us to do. And that's partake together, to take in these emblems and have the opportunity to remember what he did for us. So let's take the bread and let's eat together. Let's now take the cup. And let's remember that this represents the forgiveness of our sins. And all the Lord's people said, amen, absolutely. As is our custom as well, we don't want to forget those of you that are joining us via Facebook Live. We keep saying Zoom. It's not Zoom. It's Facebook Live. Online. There we go. We'll just use that phrase from here on out. But I tell you what, we are glad those of you that are joining us. We're hopefully and praying that you are doing safe and you are... We had some bad storms come through last night, as has been mentioned already, but we are grateful that we have this way in which that if you can't be with us in person, if you're local, we can certainly glad to have you join us this way. We also want to give you an opportunity in how you can partner with us financially. If you are not able to join us in person, the three methods are behind us. In person, you can come to the office from 9 to 2. Our wonderful office manager, Ms. Shirley Mahoney, will be glad to greet you with a smile, welcome you, and then we have a box in the foyer that can, you can put your tithe in there. It can be a safe and secret kind of way of giving. Then, of course, you can do it by mail. The church address you can find at LexingtonCC.org to find our church address. And then, of course, you can do an automatic withdrawal with your bank. They'll be happy to set that up for you so you don't have to worry about it. Either way, we'd love for you to be able to financially partner with us in our efforts to just continue to share Jesus' love and the gospel message to everyone. So at this time, let me pray for you, and then we'll begin started with our message today. Gracious Lord, we praise you, we love you, and just thank you for those that are able to join us via Facebook Live this morning, online. God, we're just grateful that we have the technology to stream to anywhere, if they're here locally, if they're in another state, if they're in another country. Father, it is incredible how we can reach and share with people our love for Jesus and the gospel message that saves lives. God, I pray that you will just be with those that plan that you're going to move through this week, that are going to partner with us financially. I pray, God, that you will move in their hearts, that they will give by faith, not by sight, not by what is there in their bank account or anything of that nature. They're just going to give because they love you. And Lord, I pray that that love will infuse within our church, and that, God, we can continue to do things that would glorify your name. So bless you, Father. Bless the gift and the giver. Let that person be cheerful. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me take a moment just to say it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. We're so glad that you've chosen to come and worship. We were a little worried, obviously, that because of the storms we had, that it knocked out the broke one of the water lines at the water plant here in town. And everybody probably woke up this morning going, where's my water? I know when I arrived earlier and turned on, I was like, uh-oh. You know, we got some great people in our county that are just tremendous workers, and they're working hard, and hopefully things will be restored here shortly. But we are certainly glad you've chosen to worship with us. I want to take a moment real quick and just want to extend a glad to see that my in-laws, Lynn and Judy Einan, are with us today. We're just glad to have them from Woodstock, Georgia, and we hope you guys have a safe trip. Later on, if I don't get a chance, I get bombarded and get taken all sorts of different directions. So glad you guys have been with us this weekend. And Megan and I celebrated 17 years of marriage this past Saturday. And thank you. And we had a great time spending some time, quality time together. And I'm just flooded with all sorts of messages from Facebook and so forth. So thank you all who wished us a happy anniversary. We really appreciate it. And let's keep it going, honey. You okay with that? All right. We are in the middle of a series called Red Letter Day, talking about the statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross. And how really there was more significance to them than we realize. The first statement we looked at the beginning of the series was, my God, why have you forsaken me? And of course, a lot of folks wonder, why would God do that? Well, Jesus took on our sin so that we could never be forsaken eternally. And that's what we need to be thankful for there. Then last week we looked at, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the idea, yes, Jesus has forgiven us for his act on the cross, but can we bestow the same forgiveness to people who might have wronged us, people who owe us, people that have bullied us, anything of that measure? And we looked at the story of how Jesus told Peter about a master and a servant and so forth. And I pray that if you missed that message, feel free to go back to our Facebook page, and the video will be there from last week. So you can view that, and I think there were some great things that, we should really think about when it comes to forgiveness. Because remember, God watches how we forgive, right? Exactly. Today, we move on to our third statement we're going to look at, and it's in the book of John, chapter 19. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me there, we're going to be looking at John 19, verses 28 through 30. This is when Jesus was on the cross. And we're at the point where he is about to say a special phrase. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill Scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. Then when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. Those are three interesting words there. It is finished. How many of you love those three words. It is finished. Absolutely, we love those three words. Here's why we love those three words. For example, if you've got a big project that you're working on, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, when you know that project is done, I bet you say, "Whew, I am glad that's finished." I hope you feel that way. How about when you when a special thing happens? For instance, when you graduate from these days, it's preschool or elementary or middle school now, or definitely high school with that high school diploma, or even that GED, or even a college degree. When you finally have taken that last test and you've walked on there, you can finally say, "Yes, it is finished. Hallelujah." Even weddings. Man, when you finish all that planning of a wedding and so forth, and when you finally finish out everything and you just go, "Whew, it is finished." Or when you make a final payment on a credit card. Or a car payment. Or even a student loan. I remember the day when Megan finally got that last payment on her student loan. She had a party. She was yelling, "Hallelujah, it's finished." She sure did. That is the truth. She had a letter on the refrigerator for the longest time when that final, when that balance said zero on it. Of course, filing our taxes. Whew, it is finished. And then the best one of all, when the preacher finally gets done with his message. Finally. But all of these, to be honest, fail in comparison to what Jesus finished. And those words, "it is finished," actually have a little more significance than what we think they are. So this morning, I'd like to introduce you to three things that "it is finished" means to Jesus. And in turn, it actually means a lot to us. So as we get started this morning, here's the first one. And I think we need to be a reminder of this, because I think this is very important. The first thing that Jesus finished is that Jesus finished establishing the new covenant. Jesus finished establishing the new covenant. Now, why is that significant? Here's why. When Jesus was meeting with his disciples, we just a moment ago had communion together. When he met with his disciples, they were celebrating Passover. This is the day in which they remembered the escape from Egypt. What happened with the how God told them to put the blood on the door panels when they were getting ready to escape Egypt. The firstborn son would die unless those doorposts were painted with lamb's blood. Well, Jesus was with his disciples. They were having Passover. And then at that point, he instituted something new. He took some bread. We just broke bread earlier and passed it to his disciples. And then he took a cup and he passed it. And he said something very interesting at that moment in Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 to 28. Hopefully you saw it on the screen earlier, but I'm going to read it to you again. But I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. I want you to hear this. He said, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Now, some of you might be asking the question, okay, what is a covenant? Simply put, a covenant is something that is eternally binding. It is something that you enter into, not like a contract where contracts have to be renewed, okay? Unless you do a lifetime contract, which those are barely, nobody likes those. But this is a covenant. This is something that God establishes with His people. This isn't something we establish with God, okay? This is something God establishes with us. And that's key, and I want you to understand that, because God made a covenant with Abraham, the old covenant. He made it because he knew that it would be through Abraham that the nation of Israel would rise. This would be the group of people that God himself would invest in. He would pour himself into them. He would lead them and guide them and help them. And so throughout that time, God was with the nation of Israel. And of course, if there was any that wanted to follow their ways, he would honor them too, but solely for the Israelites. Jesus, on one Passover night, just before everything that would take place in his ministry, during that triumphal entry that we celebrate today, like what Rodney did earlier, Palm Sunday, okay, and established a new covenant in his blood. But that wouldn't take place until he actually was on the cross. In fact, I love how Hebrews 9, verses 13 through 15, gives us this excellent description of just this. The words are on the screen. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Under the old system, okay, note that, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer would cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. Jesus determined that it was vitally important that a new covenant be established through him, through his blood, for us. So that's the first part of "it is finished." He had finally finished establishing the new covenant in his blood. The second is unique. The second, when Jesus finished, is that Jesus finished out prophecies concerning himself. Now, why is this an important thing to think about? Why is it so important that Jesus completed prophecies concerning himself? He finished this. What this does is this gives Jesus credibility that the Old Testament is in agreement that he was the chosen Messiah, that he was the Son of God, that through other individuals throughout the history before Christ was born, they spoke about him. They spoke about this Messiah, this Savior that would come, and there would be many things that would be spoken about him, how he was born, where he would be born, what was his role, what would he do, and how would he redeem all of us? How would he redeem the world? Now, all in all, if you go from cover to cover of the Bible, there are over 600 prophecies. But just in the time that Jesus was on earth, he actually wound up fulfilling just over 300 of them, which is incredible. Think about this. Like, how many of you have ever played the lottery? I don't know. If you don't want to raise your hand, I get it. You're trying not to incriminate. I'll raise my hand. I've done it once before myself. Not too many times. But, you know, you think about what the lotteries, how they work the systems and do the lotteries now. They go towards some lotteries. Like in Georgia, I know this. I think this is still the case. Those help the education funds. I don't know if that's the way it is in the state of Tennessee, but some of you are nodding your head, so hopefully that's the case. Well, your chances of winning the lottery are pretty good if you're just going up against one other person, right? 50%. If you add two more, obviously your chances are 25% of winning. But obviously, if you're playing the Mega Millions, it's one versus potentially 350 million plus people. So your odds are not quite as good at winning the lottery. But there's still you have a 0.1% chance. I mean, come on, you got to take it sometimes. The fact that Jesus was able to fulfill so many prophecies is astounding. That one person could identify with anything that was said before them, from all the way to Genesis, where it talks about how a heel would stomp out a serpent, to all the way to the very end of the Bible, where there's still, we have one more promise waiting to be fulfilled. Now, I'm not going to take you through all 300 prophecies, okay? So everybody do this with me. Whew. Okay? But I do want to highlight a few, especially here within this Passion Week, that I think are really significant. So it's about six or so. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the event. And then I'm going to give you the scripture reference. I'm not going to read it. I'll use your chance to write it down. If you miss one, I actually have a copy right here. Megan can help you out with that, of my messages today, later on. Or you can just go back on Facebook, watch the video, see if there's anything that you missed. Okay? But I want to highlight a few of these because I think they're significant. And there is one that I will read from. Okay? First of all, the first one is the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday, where he came in. And that actual scripture is Zechariah 9:9. And it's almost word for word what happened. It's pretty amazing. The next one I thought was significant would be when Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. That is actually prophecy fulfilled in Zechariah 11, verse 12. Of course, we know that Jesus was wounded and bruised. That one specifically was Isaiah 53, 5. But if you read the entire book of Isaiah 53, it describes amazingly what happened to Jesus, all that he went through. And just, it would give you chill bumps just thinking about it. We actually covered this one in the first week, how his hands and feet were pierced. That was actually prophecy of Psalm 22:16. And then, when he was on the cross, they divided his garments. They cast lots for his clothing. That's two verses down in verse 18 of Psalm 22. And then, of course, as Jesus was on the cross, darkness came over the land. And we find that is prophecy from Amos chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And then finally, in the mind of Jesus, the one prophecy that was left to be fulfilled was when he said the words, "I am thirsty." We find this in John chapter 19 with the verses we just read. Let me just reread them real quickly for you. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill Scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. Now, what's interesting is in the references in Matthew and Luke, they use vinegar as a part of that, or wine mixed with gall. Did you know that that prophecy came from Psalm 69, verse 20 and 21? And let me read that for you. "Their insults have broken my heart, and I am in despair. If only one person would show some pity, if only one would turn and comfort me. But instead, they give me poison." Other references in other passages and translations say the word gall. "They give me poison or gall for food. They offer me sour wine for my thirst." It was the final prophecy that Jesus would fulfill. Be the one that allowed him to say the words, "It is finished." That everything that has been prophesied about him was done. It's amazing. So not only would he finish establishing a new covenant, and not only would he finish fulfilling prophecies of himself, the final thing, of course, for all that connects with us is that Jesus finished the mission God had for him. He finished it. He was chosen to be the sacrifice, the holy, spotless, blameless sacrifice that would end sin's grip on us. It would wash our sins away completely. And He would be there for us. He completed the redemptive work His Father had for all humanity to make us right in the sight of God Almighty. Taking that sin as He bled, taking that sin upon us. We talked about the weight of that sin. The ugliness, the brutality of our sin. And He put it upon Himself. He who had no sin became sin for us, which caused the separation, which caused Him to feel alienated. But He understood that this was all worth it for us. In fact, I absolutely love how Colossians chapter 2 verses 11 through 15 say, as Paul was talking to the Colossae church, he made this description about why this was so important. Listen to these words. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Amen? Amen. What Satan thought was the biggest win of all turned out to be his greatest defeat. Hallelujah. And it's incredible that Jesus saw it as victory. The disciples saw it as victory. You don't think of death as a victory sometimes, but that is what it was. It was a victory for us. It was a victory for that generation of people that put Him on the cross. The same people who shouted, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" They were pardoned and forgiven. Even when He was exchanged for a murderer during that Passion Week, it was a victory. Barabbas' sins were forgiven. Let that sink in. A murderer. We don't know much about him, although he was a murderer. We don't know how many people he murdered. But a murderer was forgiven. This should tell you that the power that Jesus displayed, the blood that was poured out, washes over any sin. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate about the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit part, okay? But when it comes to the sins that we commit, the sins that go against what God says, those are the ones that are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Even the worst person you can think of. What was it, Jeffrey Dahmer? Killed 17 people in Wisconsin? Christ's blood forgives him. Now he has to accept it, obviously. That's the caveat. Do we want to accept that forgiveness? Because when Jesus said it is finished, that's what he meant. That's what Paul was describing here. The mission was fulfilled. What he came here on earth to do before his resurrection, it was finished. And therefore, he bowed his head. And it was done. It's incredible. So, those are the three. Establishing a new covenant. The prophecies. And finally, the mission. Now, however, there is one thing that is unfinished. What? Chip, what are you talking about? Unfinished. Yes. There's this one thing that's going to be unfinished until the day actually Jesus looks at his Father and the Father says it is time and Jesus comes back for all of God's children, the dead in Christ first and then whoever is left who believes, then all of humanity until he comes. It is truly unfinished business. Would you like to know what that unfinished business is? Good. It's the unfinished business of sharing the good news. Sharing the gospel. That is unfinished business that is left for anyone who follows Christ. Who shares not just to share. Okay? It is not just going out and just saying these like it's a quote. Okay? You have to get your hands dirty. You have to get in there in some people's lives. And so I'm telling you, there's some people's lives are pretty messy. And you shy away from wanting to get into the messiness of some people's lives because you're not sure if you can handle it. And you're not sure if what you say is going to be important enough. Well, we've talked about that already. It's not about us. It's about God using us and working through us in order to make that happen. Because here's the thing, the good news that Jesus Christ made a way for you and for me to be cleansed of our sins, to be made right in the eyes of Almighty God. That's what's important. That's the message that needs to be heard from people that you know. From people that are even in their worst moments. Yes. It's unfinished. And it needs to keep going. Because there are so many people that are hurting right now in this world. There are so many people that have been fed lies from the devil himself in disguise. There are people in this world that are looking for hope. There are people in this world. There's people right here in Henderson County that are desperate for hope. And we can't assume just because that they're doing this, they're doing that, they go to this church, they go to that church. Listen, God leads you to the people that are placed on your heart. And there's unfinished business there. And as a follower of Jesus, I encourage you. Take up your sword. It's not for the offensive. You're not to slash somebody with the Bible. Okay? It's to help pierce the evil that Satan has put in someone's heart. And that is the only way it's an offense. Not to the person, but to the sin. So I got some questions here. The way is made. The mission was completed. But I got questions for you. The first one, are you finished? Are you finished with sin's grip in your life? Okay, are you? We just read earlier that because of what Christ did, it cut away the sinful nature. Have you had that really done for you? Are you finished with sin's grip? Are you finished with your guilt? Are you finished with feeling guilty all the time that, man, I just keep messing up and messing up. I'm not worthy of coming to church anymore. I'm so lost that there's no way, there's no hope for me. Are you finished with that kind of guilt in your life? And then finally, the biggest question. And I hear this from a lot from people, even from Christians, I hear this. And I just don't understand. And so we just got to really come to grips with this. It's, are you finished with not knowing where you will spend eternity? Some people, even when they've gone through the motions of things, still feel like, man, I have no idea where I'm going to go. Yeah, I go to church. I go to Sunday school. I go to Wednesday night. When I can't make it, I join them in Zoom. You know, but I still feel like I'm not sure. Because you're basing it on your own good deeds. Your own way of life and how you think you're living. You don't go to heaven by what you do. You go to heaven because you were saved by grace through faith. You were saved when you confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then you allow yourself and submit yourself to Christian baptism. So that you can have those sins washed away. You have your conscience washed clean and be raised up doing a new life. The Bible gives us what we need to do, but we need to do it in faith. Accepting the grace that God gave us through Jesus on the cross. To confess with our mouths, Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. You are my Lord and you are my God. You also got to repent. You got to say to that old life, I am tired of you. I am finished with you. And I need something new. So you confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart. You are baptized in the waters of baptism. You come up someone brand new, beautiful. And guess what? That stays with you. If we are not grounded in God's Word, yes, we will revert back to sin. Yes, we will. But guess what? Jesus comes to you and says, I have taken that on too. Are you finished with not knowing where you will spend eternity? Then let's finish it. Let's not wait any longer. Let's answer those questions today and be finished with it so that you know where you stand with God, where you stand with Jesus. Because maybe today there's some of you that need to have heard these words. And I don't know how God uses them sometimes, to be quite honest. Especially coming from a boy that used to live out in the country in Beargrass, North Carolina. I have no idea how in the world, but it ain't about me. I'm a product of what God has done. I looked at myself one day and I said, God, I've heard about you. I've read about you. I've had teachers teach me about you. And Lord, something has awakened within me that I need you. That I need to be right with you. That I want to live for you. I am so grateful for what Jesus did for me on the cross. Lord, I open myself up to you. It's not clockwork, it's not science, it's not even art. It is just the moment's there. And maybe your moment has arrived. Today, it is time for you to say, it is finished. My old life, I'm done with it, and I want something new. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we take this moment to acknowledge that what You did for us on the cross, we have mixed feelings about it. Sometimes we're not sure. But Lord, what we do know is that You did it for us. And Lord, we just pray now that as we ponder these words, we ponder what we've heard so far, God, I pray that whether we're watching here in person, whether we are watching through Facebook Live, God, I pray that if there's a decision that needs to be made, if there's something that needs to take place in our lives, that we just need to come before You humbly and just finally submit to You. Lord, I pray for that person right now. I pray for whatever's going on in their heart that they would allow You to go through that spiritual circumcision and cut away that sinful nature that tries to lead and guide us into evil ways and exchange it for a new life of love and compassion and closeness to You, O Lord. May we be able to say with our lips, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as the prophets foretold. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone this morning who needs to recommit and rededicate their lives today, just for that, I pray, Lord, that we would not hesitate and that we would be led by the Holy Spirit to do what is necessary for our walk with You. You are calling us, Lord. Now pray we answer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a familiar song, but with this song, there's a little wrinkle to it. It is well with my soul. But I remember one day I was actually with my father-in-law, Lynn Einen. We were down at Christian City, Dad. There was a day where we were gathering together. We were with other ministers in the area, and a gentleman got behind a keyboard. I remember this very clearly. He got behind a keyboard and he started playing It Is Well With My Soul. But then he changed up the chorus. And some people are like, ah, gasp. Why'd you do that? But it made so much sense later. Goes on to the first part. He said, it is well through the storm. I am held. It is well with my soul. And then later, he added on a second part. It is well through the storm I am held. It is well with my soul. It is well, God has won. Christ prevailed. It is well with my soul. I want to do that version for you today. And then at the end of the song, we sing the traditional chorus, It Is Well, echo, It Is Well, with my soul, echo that, it is well with my soul. Let's stand. And I pray it is well with your soul today. And if it is not well with your soul, Larry Powers, be ready. Chuck Nichols, be ready. Megan Ward, be ready to receive whoever needs to be prayed for today. Let's stand and let's sing together. Give the Lord a hand. Give Him a hand this morning. I tell you what a way to kick off Passion Week. And I tell you, I hope and pray that this week would be something special for you. Don't just go through the mundane things, okay? I know it's going to be tough because, you know, the boss wants you to have a certain thing done and you got things at the house and the kids want this and the kids want that. And, you know, find a moment just to enjoy the Passion Week. Find a way where you're in your prayer time and your devotion time. This Wednesday, maybe some of you noticed we didn't have any lessons out there. And that was on purpose because this week we're going to do a reading through of the Passion Week. Okay, so be looking in the Gospels and so forth. We're just going to do that together. I encourage you to come in person too, as long as the weather's good and so forth. Come on out in person. We may even throw in a few video elements in there too, as a part of that. But just to prepare our hearts for next Sunday. On the back table, there are some, unless they're in the office. Are they in the office or in the back table, Shirley? The invites. Please, please. And if you'll be at the door, Miss Shirley will have some invites for you to invite someone to our service next Sunday, Easter Sunday. The same invite will be on our Lexington Christian Church Facebook page. If you want to share that after that, and we'll post that out at the beginning of this week. If you want to just to be able to share that and just share it with all your friends. The more you can share, the more people know about our service. We've got some great things planned that I really pray will honor Christ, will honor the risen Savior as we celebrate His victory together. So lots of things that we're going to get a chance to do this week. So we hope and pray that you will be with us during that time. Any other announcements that I need to make before we are dismissed? Then I'm going to ask Brother Chuck Nichols if he'll turn his microphone on and give us a word of prayer as we dismiss. Invite someone for us to love on next Sunday.
For all your many blessings, for your spirit that we felt here today, God, we ask you that you'd continue to bless this church and the movement that we're trying to fulfill here in this community. As we go back home now, Lord, to our appointed places, we ask you to be with each and every home represented here, Lord. There be one that may not know your spirit, that may not know the gift of your salvation, that you would be on their hearts this week. Be with those that travel.